Our lesson tonight is in Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Christ's identification as the world's Savior by His call of the disciples. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it in depth. Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's another name for the Sea of Galilee. And He saw two boats standing by the lake, or by the shore. But the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and requested that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Incidentally, Jesus used the water as a sounding board, because the people were so close, the far back could not hear Him. When He rowed out a little bit, He'd use it as a sounding board. So if Jesus were here today, would He use modern media? Of course. He used the best that He had at that time. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon, answering and said unto Him, "Master, we have toiled all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net." And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net began to break. So they motioned unto their partners who were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And he was astonished, and all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. This is an amazing passage of Scripture because of it demonstrates the effect of the Lord Jesus on His disciples. It was an overwhelming effect. And of course, you have to keep in mind, these are men who made their living at fishing. They knew this sea. They knew what it was like to catch. And this is, they'd never seen anything like this. And so it told them something about Jesus. So we'll look at what this means. Peter and his fellow fishermen had already had extensive contact with the Lord Jesus prior to the events of Luke chapter 5. For example, in John chapter 1, verse 41, Andrew had told Peter that he had found the Messiah in Jesus of Nazareth. And then in Mark chapter 1, 6 to 20, and you also have the same account recorded in Matthew chapter 4, 18 to 22, Jesus had called Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow Him with a promise that He would make them fishers of men. And they had dropped their nets at the time and followed Him, but apparently they were not full-time followers. Then, and we've covered this already in the last lesson, in a third interaction, Simon had seen Jesus fully, instantly heal his mother-in-law. I remember in chapter 4, verse 38, Jesus arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought Him for her. And, of course, He stood over her, verse 39, rebuked the fever and the laughter, and immediately she arose and administered unto them. I can't help but repeat this. Peter was married. Now, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the first pope. So, if that's the case, the first pope, according to Scripture, was married. So, there's nothing wrong with men of the cloth being married. Peter was. In fact, if you go into the book, one of the epistles of the Corinthians, they mention that Peter was married, could lead about a wife, and the Apostle Paul was not married, at least at the time. But he said, "Don't I have an authority to have a wife?" And, you know, as do the other apostles. So there was nothing wrong with that, and I think this is fascinating. But anyway, Jesus healed this woman, and He healed her in such a way, verse 39, that immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now, normally people who have a debilitating fever, if they could get over the fever and immediately, because it's weakened them, they're very weak. I don't know if you probably, the last time you remember having a fever, when I was a child, I had a fever. And when you get over the fever, you're still weak for days. But she had strength, and she had so much strength, she could actually get up and start doing housework. And she was ministering, probably cooked a meal for them. So this is a tremendous miracle that occurred. Now, Peter had been exposed to this. He'd seen Jesus and His miracles. He'd already followed Jesus when Jesus had called him, but he wasn't following full time. Now, Jesus, in this particular interaction, Luke chapter 5, wanted to get the disciples to follow him full time. So what he did is very, very instructive for us. Regardless of these significant interactions with the Lord Jesus, Simon and his fellow fishermen were not yet full-time followers of Christ. They were still involved in fishing. As we read in the passage, they were fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. However, due to verses 1 through 11 of chapter 5, we learn in Luke 5:11 that we read that Simon and the other disciples with him forsook their occupations and their tools of the fisherman's trade to follow Jesus full-time. It's interesting, you'll notice in verse 11, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's amazing. These boats had begun to sink because they were full of fish. They have these two boats, and the boats would have been about 15 feet long. They have actually found a boat that was sunk off the Sea of Galilee, and it could easily have fit 12, 13 men in it, like Jesus and the disciples were in the boat. And these boats were so full of fishes that they began to sink. These men pull these fishes up. They got nets. They got, you know, boats full of wriggling fish. And they just go off and leave it. So obviously the rest of the crowd got a hold of the fish, and, you know, it was a big feast day. But normally they would take these fish, they would sell them in the market, and then they would make a living at it. And fishermen in Jesus' day were middle to upper middle class people. They had their own boats, and they were not poor. They were not poor income owners. They were middle class, upper middle class men. So these are basically businessmen in Jesus' day. They would have been in their 20s at the time. But anyway, they left absolutely everything. So the events of Luke 5, 1 to 10 reveal how Jesus powerfully affected and motivated these fishermen to abandon their occupation of fishing to follow him as the Savior of the world. First of all, Jesus contacted Simon and his fellow fishermen. He had called a disciple by teaching people by the Sea of Galilee, where the men were washing their nets after a fruitless night's work. Of course, Jesus entered into the boat that Simon had and asked him to push it out from the shore to get away from the crowd. Jesus could thus use the water as a sounding board to communicate to all the people. And after teaching, Jesus then told Simon to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for a catch. Now, this is a remarkable request that Jesus makes. I've been with people who are experienced fishermen, and they often will fish either near the sunset when fish feed because fish will rise and they'll go after bugs that come up, or in the morning, early morning. They love to go out and get a nice catch. But when the daybreak is there, the sun is up, the fish can see you from the shore, so they normally get out. The only time I've seen a fish ever be attracted to people is Nadine had an aunt, Aunt Luella, I think it was. She had pet fish, and she would actually feed the fish. She would take the feed and go down to the lake like that and in her pond, and the fish would come right over. The only fish I ever saw, that they followed you because they thought you were going to feed them. They were like pet fish. But they didn't have pet fish in the Sea of Galilee. They're all wild. So when the Lord Jesus told them to launch out into the deep and let down their nets, now if they hadn't caught fish all night long when fish normally feed, you're not going to catch fish now because you'd have to throw your net much deeper than probably what they had a net for. But Jesus said, go out into the deep. Let your net down. You're going to get a catch. So for these fish to come into the net, there had to be a miracle to direct the fish into the nets because normally they wouldn't want to come. So he entered into the boat. He asked Simon to launch out. Simon said he would obey. He moved his boat out deeper into the water and he cast in his net. You notice what Simon did, though, in verse 5. He answered and said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Basically, what he was saying is, you know, I'm a fisherman, you're not. I know what the implication is, you don't. But I'm going to show you that I'm a guy. I'm a good guy. I respect Rabbi. I'll do that. So it was kind of demeaning. He was looking at the Lord. Here's the creator of the universe. But Jesus doesn't say anything. Peter goes out, lets down his net, and there's this huge horde of fish that comes. And in fact, it's so full of fish that the net actually begins to break. So they signal for help and need a couple of nets. So they bring two nets. And notice how astounded the colleagues were. Simon's net became so suddenly packed with fish it began to break. He and his helpers signaled for the other fishermen to bring their boat to their aid, and both boats eventually became so full that they began to sink. Now remember, these are two boats, 15 feet long, and they're beginning to sink. He got lots and lots of fish. I have a feeling Jesus probably called all the fish from the northern end of the lake over and just come into the net. These fish are not acting normally. The fish are acting abnormally. It's a miracle, and Peter knows it. So Simon and the other experienced fishermen were astonished at this huge catch. So Simon fell down at Jesus' its knees, not his feet. You'll notice, and verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Why was he falling at Jesus' knees? They had benches in the boats that they had, and Jesus was sitting on one of the benches. And when you're sitting on the benches, your knees are here. So Peter falls down to the bottom of the boat, right at his knees. And he's surrounded and probably up to his armpits at wriggling fish. But you have to understand, Peter's a type A personality. He's not concentrating on the fish now. He falls down at his Jesus' knees and he says, look, I grossly underestimated you. I disrespected you. You need to get away from me because I'm a wicked man. One of the things that happens when the Lord demonstrates his tremendous power and his tremendous sovereignty in your life is a recognition of your own unworthiness. And that's what Peter had. Tremendous sense of his unworthiness. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus does at this point. He doesn't say, yeah, get out of my boat. He responds with tremendous graciousness. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm not going to judge you. Now that you've got your attitude right towards me, from now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to catch men like you just caught fish. Lots of them. Overwhelmingly so. And of course, that's how the Lord used Peter in the book of Acts. He led thousands to Christ on the day of Pentecost. He led thousands more later when he and John went up to the temple. So it was an amazing thing. So Simon fell down at Jesus' knees rather than feet in the boat among all the squirming fish, announcing he was unworthy of Christ's presence for doubting Jesus' sovereignty over the creation and over himself. It's an amazing thing. Well, Jesus replied that Simon was not to be afraid of God's judgment. God would equip him to catch men just as miraculously and just as graciously as he had caught all of the fish. Moved as an experienced fisherman by the authority of Jesus over the fish of the sea, and thus of his vast authority over himself, Simon and the other fishermen brought their ships to land. They left them there with all of the fish in their nets, and they followed Jesus full time as the Savior of the world. See, they recognized they were dealing with someone who had absolute authority. Absolute authority over the fish, absolute authority over them. So, I mean, they didn't have to fish anymore. If Jesus could collect fish like this, he could probably have the fish come and just jump out of the water onto the land. They could eat forever. They wouldn't even have to make a living. So they followed him right then. So the miracle of the great catch of fish Jesus performed in the disciples' realm of expertise showed that he was their Lord. He was the Savior of the world, and it elicited their full-time discipleship. So in application, may we believers understand that Jesus is our sovereign Lord and wholeheartedly heed his will. Then, if we realize that we are not fully biblically following Christ ourselves, we need to realize that we do not appreciate Christ's sovereignty over us, and like Peter, we need to become appalled at our lack of respect for Christ, and thus repent to heed his will. Now, if another believer does not fully follow Christ, we need to pray for that believer's enlightenment and exemplify wholehearted discipleship for his insight and his benefit. This lesson, as I was in the process of preparing it, I was preparing it yesterday and I was finessing it today. It reminded me of an incident that I had to handle on Sunday. A believer spoke with me, indicating that this party had wanted to go in a certain direction, thinking that was what God wanted them to do. That was the implication. But they had changed their mind. And now they were going to do that, which
was basically the opposite of that. But there were extenuating circumstances, but they said, but that's what I'm going to do. And I didn't say anything because I didn't know what to say, because I knew that that wasn't, it was actually in an unbiblical direction that we're going to go. And, of course, the implication is you want to speak to them and say, don't you know this is violating Scripture? Of course, if you do that, you run the risk, especially if you're a pastor, you can turn somebody off and chase them away, and I don't want to do that. But I saw through this lesson the Lord indicating to me, okay, Don, where are you? Okay, here's a believer choosing not to obey the Lord in some area. They're going to go on in another direction, even though they've been battling with this. But is there some area in your life where you're fudging? And it jogged me up, because that's what Peter came to face. He came face to face with the fact that he hadn't properly treated Jesus like he should have. He didn't respect him for who he was. And he caught himself. And this is one of the good things about Peter. He could repent at the drop of a hat, because he recognized, I blew it. So he just gets on his knees and said, you need to get out of this boat and get away from me, because I'm a bad guy. See, you're good and I'm not. And Jesus, and Peter was saying this because he was afraid. He was afraid of the judgment of God at that point, when Jesus encouraged him. But the Lord directed me to pay attention to myself. Okay, Don, yeah, that believer has a problem. How about you? Whoops. And so, and when I got honest with myself, I could say, yeah, I can clean up something. I got, you know, if I'm really going to be squeaky clean. So I had to direct that at myself. And I believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. It's very easy to point the finger at someone else. I mean, there are always problems out there. But, of course, someone says you point a finger, you got three of them coming right back at you. So you have to stop and think. And so I found myself in Peter's shoes, saying, okay, I got to get down at the knees of Christ in the midst of all the squirming fish and say, okay, Lord, sorry, uncle, you know, sorry about that. I'll work on that. But when we clear up the area of need in our own lives, then in regards to how we relate to other people, then God can use us to help other people. Because, hey, we're all in the school. We're all being discipled. We all got to grow, you know. There's always a ways for us to mature. So, like Jesus said, first pull out of the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly, pull the speck out of your brother's eye. So, God wanted me to work on the beams first before we handle the specs. So perhaps we can do that, and then we can learn the lesson that these men did. If another believer is not fully following Christ, they don't see God's sovereignty, but God can ring the believer's bell. He knew how to work with a fisherman. He can work with anybody. He knows that area, and he can ring it at just the right. So it's not our job to ring the bell. That's God's business to ring the bell.